about life.
Oh, the barnyard is busy in a regular tizzy, and the obvious reason is because of the season. My nature's lyrical with her yearly miracle. It's spring, spring, spring. All the hen folk are hatching while the men folk are scratching to ensure the survival of each brand new arrival. Each nest is twittering, they're all babysittering. Spring, spring, spring. It's a beehive of budding son and daughter life. Every family has plans in view. Even down in the brook, the underwater life is forever blowing bubbles too. Every field wears a bonnet with some spring daisies on it. Even birds of a feather show their clothes off together. Sun's getting shinery to spotlight the finery. Spring, spring, spring. In his hole, though the gopher seems a bit of a loafer, the industrious beaver puts it down to spring fever. While there's no antelope who feels that he cantaloupe, it's spring, spring, spring. Slow but surely, the turtle, who's enormously fertile, lays her eggs by the dozens, maybe some are her cousins. Even the catamount is nonplussed at that amount. It's spring, spring, spring. From his eyrie, the eagle with his eagle eye gazes down across his eagle beak. And affixing his lady with a legal eye screams, suppose we set the date this week. Even though to each rabbit spring is more like a habit, notwithstanding the factors they indulge in the practice, each day is Mother's Day, the next day is a Mother's Day. It's spring, spring, spring. Even out in Australia, the kangaroos lay off butterfat and all the French fries. If their offspring are large, it might be dangerous. They've just gotta keep them pocket size. Yes, sirree, spring discloses that it's all one supposes. Wagging tails, rubbing noses, but it's no bed of roses. If for the storkupine, consider the porcupine who longs to cling. Keeping company is tricky, it can get pretty sticky in the spring.
Spring.
Greetings, Xenophiles. Today it's the spring equinox. So, according to tradition, Expat Life plays Michael Feinstein. Every spring, that's what we play. On this day in 1345, scholars at the University of Paris decided that the conjunction of Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn was the cause of the plague epidemic known as the Black Death. Obviously, the cause wasn't that. It was some nasty bacteria spread by fleas and rats and stuff. But anyway, beware of planetary conjunctions and listen to Nettie Sandu. 1616, Walter Raleigh was released from the Tower of London and sent to Guyana to look for gold. Apparently, and to invent bicycles. In 1800, Alessandro Volta invented the electric battery, or he said he discovered it. But anyway, it's called the Voltaic Pile, and they named Volts after him. So I suppose... There we go. In 1819, the world's first shopping mall was opened. Try and guess where. Burlington Arcade, London. England. And on this day in 1920, the first flight from London to South Africa landed, which took 1.5 months. They could have walked. Let's crack on. Right, our guest this week, all the way from Thessaloniki, via some various other places, which we're going to hear. Didn't take the direct route. We have the owner and partner of Ruby Coffee and Nuts and Chocolate and the Rouge Nail Bars, and maybe who knows what else we'll discover. John Eunice.
Hello.
Now, I've never heard your name spoken out loud, but I'm just reading how it's spelled. Am I getting it right. Is it Eunice?
Absolutely correct, yes.
There we go.
John Eunice.
Yeah, and I say, so you're all the way from Greece, but I'm listening to your accent, and there's not a trace. How does that work?
Oh, that's a long story.
Okay, we'll get into it later. But first, before we do the usual four chapters, you get the first question, the hardest question of the night. John Eunice, who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am? where to start? I guess I'm a traveler.
Right.
Because I've been around the world. And
still traveling.
Still traveling.
let's keep the story. I mean, it's travel. I guess travel is good enough. We'll see if that is sums up the entire story. But let's keep the story off at the beginning, as we always do. We go like this.
Expat Life.
They're all back.
Tell me about your childhood.
Right. So Thessaloniki, I guess, is the start of it.
Thessaloniki.
It's a nice place, and it's a fairly big place. Were you in the middle of it? Were you on the edge? What?
I grew up, the first years I grew up in the center of the city.
Right.
Yeah. At the time, it wasn't such a big city. It's grown quite a bit in the recent years.
It's grown in the times I've been basically driving past it rather than through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite some industrial suburbs going on there now.
Yeah.
Which is a stark contrast to that beautiful little seafront bit in the old centre, which is really, really nice. And then it's, you step out and you see the not so pretty. But, okay, the middle. So
I guess that's with most cities the same.
I suppose that's also true, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you right bang in the middle. So from a big family, from a small family, did you have to fight for attention amongst siblings?
No, I had. I still have a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
So competition just with him.
Okay, and it's still going on. That competition,
yeah, it is
like the War of the Roses.
Which is more than enough. One brother, I think, is more than enough.
Tell me about it. Yep. And then I read in your notes that you did elementary school in the Netherlands, and the first question that comes to mind is why.
So my father was working for Esso.
That makes sense then.
Yeah. So there was a plant, an Esso plant in Thessaloniki, and he was working there, and he got a job in the Netherlands. So we moved there.
So it was shipped. The whole family lived the expat life. So you were living the expat life from a small.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, before that, when I was even younger, we went to the States for 2 years.
Oh,
that's
right.
Where my brother was born.
Mm-hmm.
So at a very young age, I was an expat from day one.
Well, this explains how you learned English with that particular accent that you have.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I ended up, we ended up in the Netherlands at that time.
Right.
Where I did elementary school until the age of around 12. And then we came back to Thessaloniki.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then continued your schooling there, right?
Yep, high school.
Had you had time to forget Thessaloniki? Did it feel like you were just coming back, or did it feel like you were going somewhere new?
It was new.
It was like a whole new thing for you now.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah?
And how did it feel? I left it at the age of 5.
Right.
So I don't think you can, until the age of 5... You can make any connections with any serious connections.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it was. Yeah, it was a new experience.
So suddenly, at this point, I mean, I guess you were speaking Greek among your family anyway. So you didn't have like a new language to learn or anything.
No, but my Greek was way behind in terms of grammar and vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be compared to a Greek.
Right.
When I went back at 12.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 12,
and so in the high school, let's say you were, did you enjoy it? Did you just tolerate it, despite the fact that suddenly it's all in everything is new again? I mean, were you good at school? Did you?
Academically, I wasn't very good. I'd say a bit below average.
Okay.
But I had a good time in school. I liked hanging around with my friends. I liked some of the activities, the sports, the cultural stuff, right. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like I didn't want to go to school at all.
I just didn't want to learn much. Anyway.
Yeah. I was particular with the learning.
Fair enough.
The learning part.
I could identify with that. But
the Greek academic system is much, much different than what I went to an American school in the Netherlands.
Right.
So the academic methodology is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greek one's really much, much more boring.
So I guess
you have
Greek
to learn
ones,
things by heart and this kind of thing.
Well, maybe I'm just imagining this, but maybe I'm stereotyping it. I don't know, but forgive me. I imagine that the Greek academic system is much more academic. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. You could say that, yeah. From some points of view.
But it makes sense because there's more history there. There's more culture. It just feels right. But were you good at some things better than other things? I mean, arts, sciences.
Yeah, the sciences, math, the more
the practical things.
Yeah, practical things.
So what were you imagining? You know, but eventually I'm going to leave this school, and when I grow up, I'm going to be an astronaut, doctor, lawyer, what, train driver?
As a kid, I wanted to be an astronaut, like everybody in the 70s, I think.
Correct.
Every boy, at least.
Yes. Buzz Aldrin, yes, that'll do for me.
Just perfect, yeah. In the beginning of high school, I liked drawing a lot, so
mm-hmm.
I was drawing a lot as a hobby in my spare time. So I wanted to become an architect.
That makes sense.
Kind of
right?
A combination of mm-hmm. math and drawing.
Right.
But then, in parallel, I got involved a lot with computers, which were really just beginning at the time because this was the early 80s.
Mm-hmm. So the micro revolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had a computer at home and
Which one? Which computer?
It was called a Sharp MZ80K.
MZ80K?
Yep.
What a classic. Wow. You're one of about 10 people who had one of those.
Exactly.
They were rare as hen's teeth, those things.
They were, yeah.
Wow.
So I learned to program at mm-hmm. at that early age, and I found programming and the computers very interesting, of course.
Because they obey you, and if it doesn't do what you want, it's because you made the mistake, not it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
and you can't argue with it. You just have to tell it what you want. Yeah, marvelous. So at this point, did you think you discovered, you know, programming, thought, well, maybe I won't be an architect or an astronaut anymore. Did you imagine that this would become your future? Or was it just a hobby, like it was for me?
At the time, it was a hobby.
Yeah.
At the time, it was a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, programming is kind of like architecture because you're creating something based on some practical rules. And
exactly. Structures.
Fundamentals, yeah. So it's more or less the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Yeah, mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense. I want to switch. We'll talk about your university after the first piece of music. It's already time. Man, you picked a track from one of my favorite albums ever, man. Boston. Tell me, I mean, what of all the pieces, why did you pick this?
You asked me to choose four songs.
Yeah.
And initially, when you told me this, I thought it was going to be easy.
It's not, though. It never
it
is.
It turned out to be really hard because there's so many to choose from. So my selection is music that I was listening to at these ages.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my favorite album of the time.
Right.
And I said not to pick more than a feeling because
it's too obvious.
It's too obvious.
And I play this about 9 times
a
year anyway.
It's a really great song.
Yeah.
It's a really great song.
And it is. It's marvelous. Hitchin' a Ride. Hitch a Ride, it's called. It's from the first Boston album. Tom Scholz and Bradley Delp. Let's listen.
Day is night in New York City. Smoke like water. Never change my mind. Gonna sail away.
Now, this is the best part of this song, I'm afraid. This solo is just it's unbelievable. But, and if you want to hear it all, you're going to have to listen to the podcast version of this show, because I'm afraid we need to move on. It really hurts. This bit. Oh, it doesn't get better than that. It just doesn't get better than that. Anyway, Antonia Maria Tanasi has put together some small reports which are aimed at everybody, but of particular interest to expats and tourists. And they're all about useful apps that you can use on your phone to make your life in Romania a little bit easier. We did one last week. We'll continue the series now with something called Questo.
Aplicații letale.
If you are an expat here in Bucharest and want to explore the city, then Questo is the perfect app for you. Not only does it offer people the opportunity to play interactive games that take them on a journey through all parts of the city, but players are also given clues, which when answered correctly, unlock all types of interesting facts about the history of the capital. There are many different quests, including themed and seasonal ones, so there's a wide range of choices. You can connect with friends of yours that have the app, and if you're really good at solving the puzzles, there's even the possibility of winning rewards. If this sounds interesting to you, Questo is free and it can be found on both Apple Store and Google Play.
Aplicații letale.
It's like Pokemon but with a purpose, and they have a beer quest too.
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
Today is the International Day of the Francophonie. It's also the opening of the French Film Festival 2025, and Instituto Francais has given us two cinema tickets, and one lucky winner could win them. Next Wednesday is 26th of March at Cinema Elvira Popesco to see L'Enfant après eux, I think, or in English, and their children after them. The first person to WhatsApp us on 07 58 948 948 with the answer to the following question wins the tickets. Which film opens the French Film Festival tonight in Cinema Elvira Popescu? There's a clue in the background music. 07 58 948 948.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
And we're back. John Eunice. Now, university beckoned, right? So where did you do... You got your programming bug, right? On your Sharp MZ80K. What a... I'm impressed, really. And then so the school was over and it was, okay, what am I going to study? Where do you go to university to be an astronaut? You don't. So what did you do?
I decided to become an engineer.
Ah.
So I combined the engineering with computers, and I went in, I ended up in London studying electronic engineering.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. A particular kind of engineering then, electronic engineering. That, mm-hmm. Did that come from your taking apart the Sharp MZ80K and figuring out what was inside it? Yeah, of course. It did. Yeah. That. You and me both, mate. We did this. Yeah, but why London?
Why London? I wanted to study somewhere abroad.
Uh-huh.
England, the UK was the obvious choice because of the language.
Right.
And London, it wasn't a specific choice. It was the choice of the university.
Okay.
Not the city.
Mm-hmm.
Necessarily.
Okay. So electronic engineering. So you studied that one for 3 years? Four?
Yeah. Three years.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. And while this was happening, what were you imagining? You were going to be a chip designer or what?
Yeah.
or maybe
initially,
you weren't thinking.
Initially, in the first 2-3 months, maybe.
Yeah, and then after that, I'm thinking, I'm just going to soak up the cultural vastness that is London, right?
Yeah, the pubs.
Big old, but, yeah.
The English pubs.
Where you're standing 6 deep at the bar on a Friday night, and you can't move, and you can, yes. Mm-hmm. And, but did you spend your whole time in and around London, or did you explore the rest of the British Isles?
I didn't travel too much around the UK. I went to Wales once, I went to South, and I went to Portsmouth, I think I went.
All right.
Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4 or 5 trips altogether.
A lot of people are like, okay,
mostly focused on London.
Yeah, you go to London and maybe a little bit south, or you might do Kent, and then you just fly over all that stuff that's north of London, because that's boring, and you land in Scotland, which is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. Nice. So then you, after 3 years of absorbing London and learning about electronics, then you've suddenly got yourself a degree in your hand. And now what?
Now I had to go to the Greek army.
Oh, you didn't have a choice in that.
No, we don't have a choice.
Right, okay. So yeah, how long did you spend? How long?
And that was 18 months.
Wow. Mm. Gee, that's harsh. And doing what? Just learning how to clean rifles and stuff? Or was it a bit more involved in that? Because now you've got a degree in electronics, right? So you could work in comms or something?
No? Yeah, actually, I was on a company, I guess, where we were trained on communications devices.
Right.
Yeah. So I was in the, what's it called? The technical core.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the company that was fixing communication devices.
Right. And that's all you're prepared to, that's all you're allowed to say about it, right?
That's true.
Because the rest is all a massive Greek military secret.
So for 18 months, I was doing this.
Yeah, and where were you posted? I mean, was it somewhere easy, like around the corner in Thessaloniki, or did they send you somewhere horrible?
No, actually, I did travel quite a bit during the army, but it wasn't something very specific. There was the initial training period of 1 or 2 months. Mm-hmm. Then we did another kind of training, different training. And finally, I ended up relatively close to Thessaloniki, about an hour away.
Right.
Which was the last 10, 11 months of the duration.
And at no point were you ever tempted to say, it's good this, I could stay.
No.
So what did you do after the 18 months was up and you got demobbed?
Then I got a job.
Ooh, sounds boring.
Yeah, I got my first job.
Yeah, which was?
Right after the army, which was in Athens. So I moved to Athens.
Okay.
From Thessaloniki. My first job was in management consulting. So I was working for a...
Your first job was in management consulting?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was consulting managers.
Consulting with them, to them, by them, for them. Normally you have to work your way through the ranks to get... Well, that was pretty
good. I was
an
analyst. I started as an analyst.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So that was my... And our first title, the entry position was an analyst.
For one of the big four or for an anonymous?
No, it was in Greece at the time. There were, of course, there were the big four. They weren't four. I think they were seven at the time.
Yeah, correct. Because then, what happened to Liebrand?
Coopers and Liebrand.
There was Price and Waterhouse and Coopers and Liebrand. And then you got Price, Waterhouse, Coopers, and Liebrand disappeared.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's not fair, is it?
He did something wrong, maybe. Yeah. So I was working there for 4 years.
Any particular industries or just generically you go wherever they send you, you do whatever you do?
Yeah, a lot of industries.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did this get you traveling around?
We had quite a few projects abroad. I did get to go to Ukraine quite a bit.
Oh.
In the late 90s. This was in the late 90s. So
right.
It's quite different from now.
I can imagine, yes.
Yeah.
I can imagine it was a lot safer then.
It was a lot safer.
And you said in your notes that it was quite a shock of the former Soviet places, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the biggest shock?
Well, maybe in Greece, maybe in countries like UK and the US, the communist regimes were more bad-mouthed than they were in Greece.
Okay.
So as people in Greece, they don't expect such a big difference from the Western civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of poverty is was really evident in those mm-hmm. in those years, and it was quite a shock to see right. such a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then after that, more traveling around, more, and then you, what happened between then and here?
After the consulting job, I got a job for OTE, which is the Greek incumbent yeah. mm-hmm. telco.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there for around 4 years. Yeah. And OTE is the parent company of Rom Telecom, the Romanian incumbent telco.
And this is how you ended up here.
Then that's how I ended up here.
Right, we'll yeah. continue the story there then. After some Pearl Jam, we got another song with an unmistakable beginning. Why Rearview Mirror from Pearl Jam?
This was the period when I was listening to a lot of music that was coming out mm-hmm. of Seattle. So Pearl Jam was one of my favorite bands.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this the second album. I had a...
Excellent, let's hear the unmistakable voice of Eddie Vedder. Podcast listeners, of course, will hear that song right to the end. But listening live, you get something else, which is this.
Este divers, este foarte bun, este curajos, este tânăr și poate sta pe orice masă din lume.
Este noul val din vinul românesc de la Carrefour.
Deschide un vin românesc oriunde te-ai afla. Carrefour. Deschidem vinul românesc pe muzică românească.
Lately, I find myself lost around a ghost in center. It's tempting to blame, and lose your temper in this plain and dull room of mine. I keep hoping that the dust I planted last week will soon into a cherry tree and cover me while I dream of you.
Taste of you.
I wanna feel the taste. Taste of your love.
Taste of your
love. I wanna feel the taste of your love. Touching any corners lately, I find myself lost around the ghostly center. It's tempting to blame and lose your temper in this plain and dull room of mine. I keep
keep hoping that the dust I planted last week will soon bloom into a cherry tree and cover me while I think of you. I wanna feel the taste of your love. I wanna feel the taste of your love. Feel the taste of your love. I wanna feel the taste of your love. I wanna feel the taste.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Quixotic.
Exotic.
And we're back with John Yunis, Expat Life. Now, you hinted there that you were working for OTE, yeah, which then they basically came and had a go at Rom Telecom, right? And said, let's have some of that. So yeah. That is how you got here. To do what for them?
Initially, I came to help out. They needed a project manager for a project which I had done in Greece,
mm-hmm.
an IT project actually,
right.
Which lasted for about 6 months. Then they needed help on another one. I stayed for another 6 months, mm-hmm. and after that, I remained.
Yeah. People ask me what. How am I still here? And it sounds like a similar thing. I said I came for a project, and at the end of the project, forgot to go home.
Mm-hmm,
basically,
exactly.
Same story. So but
the team and the colleagues were. It was a really good team, and we had a good chemistry at the time.
Did you think when you first arrived here to do this project, and you suddenly found yourself landed in Bucharest? What year was this?
2004.
2004. Okay, it was. We were quite advanced by then. But what were your first thoughts? Was it like, oh, what the hell have I done? Or is it like, I could like it here?
No, I thought I could like it because the work was really exciting. It wasn't so much the environment. I'd been to Romania for another project with a consulting company in 2000. I forgot mm-hmm. to mention that. So I'd been here for a week working on a project for Tyrom, actually, in 2000. So I'd seen, right. Bucharest. I'd seen it in much. I think there was a big difference between 2000 and 2004 in terms of development.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, because it started, 90s. From 98, it really started. From 98, feel the change in the air. Every day was different from the day before, and it lasted all through to the mid 2004, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's kind of, it feels like it slowed down a bit. But
it was about time.
Yeah. I was getting out of breath here. So you came, you did the projects, you were perfectly happy getting around and meeting the people, I guess. They said you mentioned already that you had a splendid team of colleagues,
mm-hmm.
most all locals, right? I guess. And then, so your first project, your second project, and then I suppose technically you should have gone back to OTE, right?
Yeah, I should have gone back, yeah.
Yeah, and you said, nah, forget that. I'll stay here.
Oh, they also wanted me here.
It
wasn't.
Right, so what happened after that? I mean, you're not with Telecom now, right? So something must have made it. What's different? What changed? What was the trigger that made you say, I'm going to leave Telecom and still be here?
So I left from Telecom at the end of 2007. And looking for another job became quite a difficult project at the time because of the crisis.
It was not the best time. You're right.
So I, searching for a job, I was looking for a job. I wasn't specific on the location. So I was looking for a job. Could have been in Romania, could have been in Greece, could have been in other countries around the area. So I didn't move back to Greece because I didn't find a job there either.
Ah, right. Yeah, it was a global crisis after all, yes.
Yeah. So that took quite a while. And in the meantime, through connections and people I knew here, I had some... I was doing some projects on the side, some consulting stuff for a couple of years. And then finally, I did find a job, which was actually here in Romania, so I remained.
Right. Doing what?
That job was cinema. So I was responsible for the entertainment part of the mall in Băneasa.
Ah, okay. Oh, the top floor. The mall top floor thing.
The mall top floor and the cinema. So I started working in Băneasa in 2010, early 2010. And at that point, we were designing the cinema. There was nothing there. So it was in 2010, we started the construction of the building that became the cinema, the grand cinema at the time, as we called it. So that was a project from scratch all the way to construction and setting up the business and running it.
Yeah, well, you probably met, I probably know some of the guys you were working with then. who are no longer here and whose names we probably shouldn't mention. That's another story for off the air. I'll tell you some stories. And then the cinema's up and running. I've been there. So that all works. So that was basically job done here. Next, what happened after that?
Oh, that I stayed there running this business until it was sold to the next operators. Which is the Cineplex chain. This was in 2019. And before I left, I thought, why don't I take a crack at entrepreneurship?
Aha, I'm going to branch out on my own. Yes.
On my own.
Yeah, be the master of my own disaster.
Yeah, master of myself.
So you've done a lot of stuff, right? You've got your electronics, your engineering, your IT background, your project management, your management consulting. You could go in any direction you wanted. Which direction did you go in?
A nail bar.
See, I wasn't expecting that. A nail bar. Okay, go on.
Yeah, so during this time, I found an opportunity to become a partner in a nail bar. It's a beauty salon, basically. And this happened in starting with 2018.
Right.
In parallel, I was thinking of another business to do, a number of other businesses to do on my own. But then COVID appeared.
COVID changed a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yes, it just kind of it put the brakes on a lot of business ideas. Anything that involved interacting with the public had to be reconsidered. Let's say.
Yeah.
So
and any kind of optimism someone might have had,
right?
So then quite it was a bit watered down.
Putting up screens in the nail bar, so you were separating the you know, so you put your hands through a hole in a Perspex sheet and have your nails done without.
God. Yeah, exactly. And but then, anyway, right after COVID, we did open a second nail bar salon, which was the first project after the lockdown.
So you became a chain.
We transformed into a chain, after COVID.
And then you spread into a different direction and started doing coffee, chocolate, and nuts. Tell me about this.
Yep. So this was one of the business ideas I was thinking, was to make to start a coffee business that had a bit of a twist. And that twist in my mind at that time was nuts and chocolate.
Okay, coffee and chocolate, yes, I get that. But the nuts bit, is that's the twist, I think.
Yeah, it is a twist, but all of these things are nuts, basically.
If you think about it. Coffee beans are like, yes.
They're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate's a nut.
Yeah. Okay. So it's
nuts.
Whole hit, yeah. So you went nuts completely.
We went nuts.
So then Ruby became a thing.
Ruby became a thing. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd put Ruby really on the back burner after COVID.
Mm-hmm.
For all the reasons that you would expect.
Effectively, it's a restaurant, cafe, coffee shop, needs public to come to it. You can't go out.
Yeah.
Not the best business to be in at that time.
Mm-hmm. But what happened in late 2021 was the real estate agent contacted us for a store for the nail bar,
mm-hmm.
Which finally turned out to be the Ruby store.
Ah, right. The one which is next to the Athenaeum.
Yep.
Right, on the end.
So they came up, they told us we have a store which could be interesting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they showed me the store, I said, this is not a nail bar store. This is not the Rouge Nail Bar store.
It's not the right place. No, it isn't.
It's a Ruby store.
Yeah. Okay, so
that kick-started the Ruby idea again.
So we need to. Oh God, the time's going. You have a minute. Sell me Ruby. What do I get there when I go there? Why should I go?
So Ruby's Ruby's in a very special place in town, which is on Calle Victoria. We have a really wonderful environment. And nice and helpful staff. But we also have very special products. A lot of them are from Greece,
mm-hmm.
Originating in Greece. We have specialty coffee, which is really amazing. And our latest offer and special thing that we're doing is profiterol.
Ah, okay.
So we have a profiterol experience where it's homemade. We make it there at the store. And we make it on the spot for you. So it's custom made. The customer comes and chooses which ingredients they would like, what kind of chocolate, what kind of sauces, toppings,
mm-hmm.
etc.
So it's guaranteed fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
It's on the intersection. It's next to Athenaeum, right? So we're across the road from what is now the Intercon, used to be the Hilton.
Exactly.
Exactly mm-hmm. there. So go there because you get some great coffee, nice nuts, and marvelous profiteroles. You know what? We have to. This starts very quietly, doesn't it? This is a track I've never heard before. Tell me why you picked Fu Manchu.
I picked Fu Manchu for something a bit more exciting and. Happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, and a bit...
a bit of a sing-along.
Dance to this. Again, listen to the podcast to hear the whole song.
Expat Life, made in Bucharest, Romania.
Heard all over the world.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
Welcome back, Expat Life. We've got about 45 seconds. Wow, 45 seconds to tell me what you plan for the future. Or do you plan for the future?
The plans for the future are questionable at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to make sure that the businesses are running well, which is quite a task at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So until I'm comfortable with that, difficult to make anything specific as a plan.
Right, so you just suck it and see, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's a bit of a cliche, but
fair enough. These are uncertain times. I can imagine it's not easy in these kind of...
A lot of up and downs.
Business environments, correct. On that rather uncertain note, we've got to go because we're out of time. But you... Thank you for that. Very nice story. Nicely told. I think you'll be back to dig because we scratched the surface on some things. Uh-huh. We need to dig a little bit deeper into other things. And in the meantime, go down to Ruby and get your nails done at Rouge Nail Bar. Uh-huh. Very nice. And why did you pick A Perfect Circle?
Oh, because I like Maynard. I like Tool very much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I thought to...
You and my son both. Yep. It's also kind of a bit of a Seattle Pearl Jammy kind of vibe about it.
It does.
Yeah. Great stuff. Let's listen to it. Thank you. This has been Expat Life. John Eunice. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Harrowing for you, as consequences tend to be for the rest of us. So delicious to witness your dread. Poetic justice consummate. Not unlike you to heedlessly hoist away your smug grenade. Arrogant and insolent. You don't give a damn. Collateral me down. Not unlike you to hoist away. Hoist away. Delicious for the rest of us to witness your dread. Poetic justice consummate. Not unlike you to heedlessly hoist by your own vain petard. Wrong side of history. You don't give a damn.
Stay tuned for Uman Rial, Young Minds, Fresh Ideas. Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New loves, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.